From the heart of America, the nation's number one liberal voice, where truth and common sense rule. This is the Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk. And now, Ed Schultz.
Who? Ed who? What? He's, oh, Ed Schultz. No, you've got Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and all around swell fellow in for Ed Schultz today. He will be back tomorrow. Your long national nightmare will soon be over. Never fear, America. Until then, you got me, and I'm delighted to be here with you. I really am having a good time today, as we, as Sean Hannity would say, as the Ed Show rolls forward coast to coast and around the globe. Check us out at WeGotEd.com. And by the way, if you don't listen regularly to The Ed Show via the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn, you should. If you're running around, if you're at a place where you can't hear Ed but you got a smartphone, use the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn. You will also get the added benefit of hearing me on the weekends when they replay my my broadcast that I do every week here from KPFK in Los Angeles, which is where I am broadcasting from this afternoon. All right, we're going to turn the page. Oh, here's a, before I get to David Day in here. And and Desi Doyen is going to be joining us. Desi, are you getting ready in there? Are you putting on your – okay, she's getting ready. She'll be joining us as well for some green news coming up shortly. But I want to get this news headline out there. Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan claimed victory today over anti-government protesters after a heavy crackdown. Police have raided homes and arrested dozens. What kind of tyrannical fascist government would do that? Am I right, Occupy Wall Street protesters? All right, let's go to David Dayan here. Where's my notes? David Dayan, yes, the blogger formerly known as D-Day at the news desk of Fire Dog Lake for years on end. He's now writing for The New Republic, among others. He has a story today that I am sure I am misunderstanding. It is called Unnatural Disaster, How Mortgage Servicers Are Strong-Arming the Victims of the Moore, Oklahoma Tornado, among others. I'm sure this can't be right. I'm sure I don't understand it correctly. He'll straighten me out, because it seems to me here that you've got collusion somehow between the insurance industry after a disaster, between the insurance industry and the mortgage industry, all happening on the backs of regular old citizens. I'm sure I must have misread this story. Hey, David Day, and welcome, sir, to the Ed Schultz Show.
Hi, how you doing? Always good to talk to you, Brad.
Great to talk to you, my friend. I have this story all wrong, right?
Sadly, you have it all right.
Uh-oh.
Basically, there's a little-known fact that when you put in a large insurance claim, that check that you get back from your insurance company is not just made out to you, the policyholder. It is actually co-signed to you and your mortgage servicer. Those are the people that take your mortgage payment. And they then have to endorse it over to you in order for you to begin to make the necessary repairs. And that gives a lot of leverage to the mortgage servicer to dictate terms of how you end up getting that insurance money. And they've used this going back all the way to Katrina in very malignant ways, particularly to if you happen to be in foreclosure at the time that you experienced and suffered this natural disaster. In many, many cases, the mortgage servicer will tell you that you have to pay off and get current on your mortgage with the insurance money before they'll release it for you to start making repairs. Now, this is a total breach of contract. The insurance money is supposed to go directly towards repairs. But, you know, as it was said to me by a member of Legal Aid Services, when a guy in a nice suit comes in and tells you that you have to do this in order to get your money and you don't know any better, A, and B, you're in a situation of desperation where you've lost your house, and your possessions and you have nowhere to live, you're probably going to say, okay, and then the money gets siphoned away and the bank gets big paper.
So let me just, because I, like I said, when I read this story, I thought I must be misunderstanding it. And even just now when you explained it, I must be misunderstanding. What you were saying is if a tornado comes into a place like Moore, Oklahoma, destroys, takes off your roof, destroys a room, flattens the house, or a flood in anywhere U.S., as we have more and more of those, a hurricane, Hurricane Sandy comes into New York, New Jersey, Katrina down there, your house gets wiped out, or part of it gets wiped out, the insurance company, instead of giving you a check or giving you money to rebuild your house, to rebuild the room, to put the roof back on, instead they give you that money, but it also must be co-signed by the mortgage provider, and they have to essentially okay it and sign off before you're allowed to even use any of this money to rebuild?
That's correct. And that's a standard practice in insurance contracts and in your mortgage documentation. And there's a reason for it. I mean, the reason is that if you end up, you can't rebuild in that area. Say that they say that this is now an off-limit zone, we're not going to allow rebuilding in this area, then the mortgage company can you know, recoup what would be a total loss for them. But obviously this tilts things far in the direction of the mortgage servicer rather than the individual policyholder.
So it's perfectly legal.
And we get the problems like you're saying now.
So it's perfectly legal to do this, to make it so that the mortgage company has to co-sign. What is not legal, or maybe it is these mortgage providers then come in to the guy who's just lost his house and they say, yeah, you need to take this money and put it towards paying off your mortgage. That is illegal.
It seems like it is, but nobody will go the extra mile and say that it is. You know, I quote Sean Donovan, the Department of Housing and Urban Development secretary, in the piece where he's just kind of saying that, you know, this shouldn't happen, that this is bad for homeowners, and it helps, it doesn't allow people to rebuild their lives, and it really just shouldn't happen. But nobody will go the extra mile and say this can't happen, and this is actually a breach of the contract. It really plays more into contract law, because there doesn't seem to be a lot of laws around it. I mean, insurance companies are regulated usually at the state level, so it varies from state to state. Jurisdictions are different from state to state. The state insurance department in Oklahoma, who I spoke with, doesn't have jurisdiction over mortgage servicers at all. So it's up to the attorney general, really, to come in and deal with that situation. In New York, during Sandy, it was up to the Department of Financial Services, who did very aggressive work, but it was all around kind of shaming mortgage servicers into stopping this practice rather than using laws.
So it's
very hard to say.
It may not be illegal what they're doing, just unbelievably distasteful.
And, it's unbelievably unethical.
And unethical.
And really, it represents a tremendous overreach on the part of mortgage servicers. And it's not just for people in foreclosure. I mean, the other problem is that mortgage servicers are just terrible customer service representatives and just trying to get the money out. Even if they're not trying to screw you over, just trying to get the money out of your mortgage servicer, anyone who's called a mortgage servicing company knows that it's, you don't get the same person every time. It's hard to explain what you actually want out of them, and they slow walk everything, and they drag their feet. And there are instances in New York after Sandy of people waiting months and months and months for the insurance money. Meanwhile, their house is getting moldy. They're having to live somewhere else. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible situation, very under the radar, that these servicers are really just compounding the suffering that disaster victims are experiencing.
David Dayenart, do you find any states any better or worse than any other? In other words, do we have, you know, some of these states, Texas and Oklahoma, all about the free market? The free market will take care of itself. Do you see a difference in the states in how they deal with these issues and how they fight for homeowners versus let the industry go wild?
Certainly. I used the case study of New York after Hurricane Sandy, and the governor and the Department of Financial Services were extremely aggressive in trying to stop these practices. They named and shamed all these banks that were withholding millions, hundreds of millions of dollars of this insurance money, and they've made eventually made agreements with a lot of them, although there are still problems. And that's a state with which has a deep knowledge of financial regulation dealing with these large Wall Street banks.
Right.
Oklahoma and Texas obviously don't have that experience. As you say, they're more about the free market.
Yeah.
They say that they're ready for this kind of thing, but, you know, it's clear that if you have a bigger cop on the beat, that's going to be more of a deterrent.
Great, great work on this, David Day. And let me add, great work that you've been doing now for many years, keeping your eyes on the mortgage crisis, the foreclosure, crisis that are going on when so many in the media, in the mainstream media are moving on to the next shiny object. Thank you for keeping your eyes on this and trying to raise some holy hell so people, pay attention to this and start taking care of our people. Instead of, you know, billion-dollar boondoggles overseas. Really appreciate your work for many years on this, David.
Thank you very much, Brad, for your interest in it.
All right, brother. That's David Day. And check out his report, Unnatural Disaster, How Mortgage Services Are Strong-Arming the Victims of the Moore, Oklahoma Tornado, among others, over at New Republic. You can also tweet him at DDayan and follow him there as well. He's a great follow. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with much more of your calls. 877 We Got Ed, and the lovely Desi Doyen is on deck with some green news. All of that straight ahead right here on the Ed Schultz Show. I'm Brad, in for Ed. Stay with us.
We'll be right back. This is the Ed Schultz Show.
It's the Ed Schultz Show. I'm Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, in for Ed, who is on assignment this afternoon. He'll be back with you tomorrow. Never fear. More of your calls in a moment. Wanted to mention this. 2 months after the Senate failed to support the expansion of background checks for gun purchasers, Vice President Joe Biden is hosting an event at the White House Tuesday to show how the administration continued their efforts to reduce gun violence despite that failed vote. That's from news at yahoo.com. Actually, I'm not sure who the writer is of that, but I just want to point out the vote didn't fail. The Senate didn't fail to support background checks, the lowest hanging fruit of all gun safety requirements. The Senate supported it, 55 to 45. It was a rout. And yet it didn't pass because we have a broken Congress. We have a broken Senate who requires 60 votes for anything to pass. Just like our Constitution says, oh, wait, no, it doesn't. It doesn't say anything about that in the Constitution. You have to have a 60-40 landslide for anything to pass in the U.S. Senate. That's our broken Senate. That's our broken democracy. And that we can thank the terrorist-supporting NRA. Yes, you heard me right, terrorist-supporting NRA. The NRA who has gone to bat to make sure that folks on the terrorist watch list can buy guns, who has gone out and lied about the UN arms treaty that's meant to keep the guns out of the hands of terrorists around the world, telling their gullible members, apparently, that this UN arms treaty will undermine the Second Amendment in this country, which is a complete, total, absolute lie. That's the NRA. That's how democracy is undermined. That's what I speak up for right here on the Ed Schultz Show and at bradblog.com. Let's go to Jerry in Chicago. Hey, Jerry, welcome, sir, to the show.
Hey, thank you. I have some observations or questions about the whole notion of corporations being people, too.
Yep.
Because I caught this story at Crooks and Liars. I don't have all the details handy, but I'm sure somebody can find it. A while back, there were some high school athletes who were accused of raping a young girl. They were exposed by an anonymous hacker who found their tweets and information.
Right.
The hacker now faces a more severe sentence than the rapists do.
Right.
If corporations are people too, my friend, what are the consequences of spying for the Booz Allen Hamilton Corporation? What Can't we, you know, haven't they committed a crime and can't we put them in jail?
No, apparently that's completely legal. It depends. You just got to be spying for the right people. And, by the way, you just have to be leaking the right information. The Obama administration, the Congress, they leak all the time. They leak classified materials, but it's, you know, information that helps them. So it's cool. Nobody goes to jail.
So it's
Anybody else?
Be a rapist than a hacker, huh? Is that
apparently. Apparently. Thanks. And you're talking about that Steubenville, Ohio case. Jerry, I appreciate the call, my friend. Good point. Let's go to Bob in Clifton, Tennessee. Hey, Bob, welcome to the Ed Schultz Show, sir.
Well, thank you, Brad. Say, you mentioned that the hacker group Anonymous alerted you to an invasion of your privacy. And taking the government statements at their face value that they are only following, you know, the origin and duration and dates of calls, it seems that one of their motives may be to discover Anonymous.
Oh, believe me, they are working hard to discover Anonymous. There is no question about that. They want those guys and they want them bad, and they have arrested some of them because, in fact, you know, many of those anonymous folks are breaking the law, strictly said. Many of the cases where they've done it, it's been for the public good, in my opinion. But, you know, yeah, we do have laws. The problem is these laws are, we pick and choose very carefully who we apply them to and who we do not.
Does this National Surveillance Agency sweep reach into Canada?
Oh, heck yeah. It reaches everywhere. Are you kidding me? Especially Canada. It especially reaches into non-U.S. countries. Absolutely. Why?
Well, I heard that Anonymous was, at least some of their members are located there.
Oh, they are everywhere. Count on it. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Donald in Oak Brook, Illinois. Hey, Donald, welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
I've been following up and following you closely on the Syrian war business. I think that the way I feel, we should not get in. And if any Democratic politicians and even President Obama, if they want to show any backbone, what they should have said, we're going to draw the line this time and not get involved. We don't, if these Islamic leaders want to go ahead and kill their people, we will not do anything to stop them. And that's what should be said. I'm a veteran. And I got drafted in 66, and the truth of the matter is, besides McCain, who's digging a hole for us with the fly no-fly zone, which we know what that's going to happen with that, these other politicians on the right were all running away when the war started in Vietnam. That was another mistake.
Here we go. Well, Donald, thanks for your call. I do appreciate that, and it underscores what I've been saying throughout the show here about democracy. Several new polls all show, this is one from Pew, that 70% of Americans oppose, 70-20 oppose sending arms to anti-government groups in Syria. And yet, it looks like we're going to do it anyway. How's that democracy working out for you? You see how backwards this all is? It just doesn't make sense. Who are these people supporting? I don't get it. Raising hell right here on the Ed Schultz Show. Brad, in for Ed. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's the Ed Schultz Radio Show, where America comes to talk. Talking with you today is me, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. As we're coming into the final stretch here, the caller before we went to the break mentioned Syria, and I was talking about how many people are against arming the rebels out there in Syria right now, 70-20 against it, according to a number of polls. And it should be pointed out, as Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting has pointed out here, we really don't know if Syria is using this these chemical weapons against their own people. Our government says that is now a high, I think it's a high probability, high confidence, but we have seen no evidence of it. And even if you look at the Times, New York Times, which put it this way last week, according to a CIA report, which was described by an American official who declined to be identified. The U.S. has acquired blood, urine, and hair samples from two Syrian rebels, one dead, one wounded, who were in a firefight with Syrian government forces in mid-March northeast of Damascus. The samples show that the rebels were exposed to sarin. So it's a CIA report described by an American official who declines to be identified. And yet on that, it seems we are willing to get into another conflict, despite the fact that the people don't want it, despite the fact that 10 years ago, almost to the day here, just a month or two ago, we fell for it in Iraq when it came to WMD and claims that were not proven, that the media said were confirmed, just because officials, public officials, said it was confirmed without showing us actual evidence. In the meantime, we also have the UN investigator who has been saying that so far the only evidence we've seen of sarin is coming from the rebels, that it appears the rebels are using sarin. So, you know, let's just not fall for this again. Let's not fall for it again. Make them show us the evidence this time around, pretty please. All right, I want to get to hey Desi Doyen, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, hey Des. Hey. That is of course Desi Doyen. She is my producer on the Bradcast, my editor at BradBlog. She's my co-host and managing editor of the Green News Report, the excellent 6 minutes of Green News that is heard on fine progressive radio stations around the country and around the world. And, Des, our most recent Green News Report, we recorded late last week, so we're going to have an update. I want to play the Green News Report. Got an update, and then you can give us a preview on what's coming out in the next one.
Okie doke.
And, Desi, by the way, if folks don't recognize Desi, if you watch The Young Turks, she frequently guest hosts over on The Young Turks. You scheduled to do that anytime soon?
I don't have anything scheduled yet, but, boy, they are so much fun to work with.
Now that they've heard you're hanging around with me on the Ed Schultz Show, you're finished. Okay, let's get to the Green News Report, and then afterwards we'll chat and get back to some calls if you want to get into the show before we're done here. 877-WE-GOT-ED, 877-934-6833. We'd love to hear you over your public airwaves. But let's play our latest Green News Report. Hit it, Troy.
Raging wildfires across Colorado are forcing thousands to get out of harm's way.
The most destructive wildfire in Colorado history.
More than 30 people evacuated by ambulance this morning.
Another chemical plant explosion, this time in Louisiana. Supreme Court rules on Texas-Oklahoma water wars. New oil spills now in Brazil and Canada. Plus,
this is a defining challenge of our future.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg's $20 billion plan for a post-Sandy New York City.
All of that and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Mike Bloomberg unveiled a $20 billion plan to fight climate change. It will limit the oceans to no more than 16 ounces.
Drink up. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, here we go again. A summer of wildfires begins?
Oh, yes.
I'm not experienced with wildfire. I tell you what, I won't underestimate it again.
After an unusually dry winter in the West, the U.S. wildfire season is off to an early and vicious start.
The fire is still pretty well scattered. It's not just one wall of fire. We have other fires around the state that are also draining resources.
That was El Paso County Sheriff Terry McKetta on the multiple fires burning in the state. The Black Forest fire is outside of Colorado Springs. It's next door to last year's record-breaking Waldo Canyon wildfire near Denver. Officials say that record high temperatures and high winds drove the Black Forest fire to explode in size in just a few hours. 38,000 people have been evacuated, 360 homes destroyed so far. It's now officially the worst and most destructive in Colorado state history.
And how much of this has to do with the pine beetle that has been devastating trees
across the state now for the past several years. If you drive through there, you see, you know, brown swaths of dead trees where they used to be green.
And it goes all the way up through Canada. The pine beetle epidemic is definitely a factor, says Jeff Moggins, a retired naturalist for the National Park Service.
We know that with the mountain pine beetle epidemic, the conditions are even better for fire. And so catastrophic fires like we had last winter, last summer, and now on the west side of the park are probably normal, will become the new normal.
The new norm, not good news.
An update in the water wars between the states. The U.S. Supreme Court on Thursday ruled unanimously in favor of Oklahoma against Texas in a dispute over water rights. Oklahoma's state legislature recently passed laws effectively barring thirsty and growing Fort Worth, Texas, from tapping Oklahoma's reservoirs. The Supremes ruled that the new state law preempts a previous water-sharing contract between the states.
And will this have any effect on the other water war between Texas and New Mexico that seems to be brewing?
No, we don't know yet. That's a lawsuit in which ranchers, farmers, cities, and the oil and gas fracking industry in both states are fighting for control of dwindling water supplies amid a deep drought. One town in New Mexico may close down forever because Midland, Texas, is draining its New Mexico aquifer legally. You can check it out at our website, greennews.bradblog.com.
Amazing how little media coverage has been devoted to these issues.
I know.
The smoke alone. Where is that smoke traveling? How fast is it getting there? Who's going to be impacted?
In Louisiana, at least 33 people have been injured, but no deaths reported, in a major chemical plant explosion and fire on Thursday morning in a suburb of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Residents who live near the plant have been told to shelter in place. Some are taking that in stride.
We're blessed to have all this, you know, the chemical industry here because it provides a lot to our community, but it can be dangerous, and there is the potential for these kinds of accidents.
Yeah, it can be dangerous, just ask the folks in West Texas as well.
New oil spills now in Brazil and Canada. Oil dumped from a pipeline rupture in Ecuador is now flowing down the Amazon River into Brazil. A new oil spill in northern Alberta, Canada, near the massive tar sands mining development, is said to exceed all of the major recent spills in North America. It's 2.4 million gallons of toxic wastewater that has reportedly killed a broad expanse of trees.
That reminds me, we've got to get that Keystone XL pipeline project going immediately across the entire country. What could possibly go wrong?
Finally,
this is a defining challenge of our future. And if anyone is up to the task of defending and adopting the city that they love, I think it's New Yorkers.
On Tuesday, New York City Mayor and billionaire Michael Bloomberg announced a long-term $20 billion plan to repair and prepare New York City for rising seas, stronger storms, and hotter temperatures predicted to impact the city in coming decades as a result of climate change. The ambitious, expensive plan includes new flood walls, storm barriers, infrastructure upgrades, building up beaches, and other major initiatives partially funded by post-Sandy federal relief funds approved by Congress. Mayor Bloomberg says the $20 billion price tag will pay for itself.
Hurricane Sandy cost the East Coast $60 billion, and as scientists predict many more similar storms to this, yeah, invest now instead of paying later. For much more on all of these stories, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Download us anytime at iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn. Find us and like us on the Facebook and follow us on the Twitters at Green News Report. For bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Better believe I'm back. Back in the new York.
Back indeed. Kiss. You got out with Kiss of the Green News Report. So much unreported green news. I was mentioning, you know, the fact that you don't hear anything about these water wars. So little we're hearing about this, and it's only leading to the, you know, not to over-exaggerate here, but the destruction of our entire planet.
Well, the planet will be fine. It's just human society that might not survive.
Good point. Good point. You had a follow-up on the explosion in Louisiana. We had said, because that was late in the week that we...
it had broke right as we were going to record for that latest report last Thursday. So exactly two people have died, actually, now, and over 70 were injured. And unfortunately, the very next day, there was another explosion. explosion at another chemical plant just a couple of miles away. I mean, this is along a corridor, a petrochemical and refinery corridor between Baton Rouge and New Orleans that is called Cancer Alley. And apparently this is something that has been happening fairly often with this particular corridor. There was another fatal explosion at the same plant that exploded on Friday and killed one employee. They had an explosion back, I think, in 2000.
And also I want to mention that these fires that are breaking out across the West, this is happening amidst the sequester where the federal government has had to, cut firefighters, cut about 500 firefighters?
Yes. National Forest Service chief testified last week that he's had to basically take funding from prevention and mitigation programs going forward, take, you know, money from that to pay for active wildfires, and on top of that having to cut 500 firefighters and a couple of engines as well. And that's just on the federal level. And it's impacting everybody at every level.
And wildfire season has started about 2 months earlier, we've now learned, out here in California, for no reason at all. There's no reason that all of a sudden...
Yeah, what could possibly be the reason why?
It's just, it's a hoax. There's no global warming. It's not getting drier. It's not flooding more. It's not getting hotter. These aren't the droids you're looking for. I got to get to a break here, Desi Doyen, but this oil spill in Alberta, Canada.
Well, actually, it's a toxic wastewater spill from the tar sands up there. They have to dump all of this toxic wastewater. They have to store it somewhere permanently, and they had a spill of that. It's the largest onshore natural disaster. Actually, I shouldn't say a natural disaster. The largest onshore disaster that
man-made.
Has happened in North America, man-made. Yeah.
Man-made disaster, yeah.
Very difficult to clean up.
Yeah, well, you know how we can help that? We can get that tar sands oil out of there and bring it down here. That should solve all
what
the problems.
What could possibly go wrong?
Let's set up that Keystone XL pipeline. There will be no environmental hazards. What are you talking about? It's jobs. It's jobs. It's tens of jobs. Brother. Thank you, Desi Doyen. You can check out the Green News Report at greennews.bradblog.com. You can also grab it on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and all of those places. Well done, Des. Appreciate it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with the last few minutes here. 877-WE-GOT-ED. We'll try to get in your calls. I'm Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Ed Schultz. Stay with us.
Where America comes to talk online. Follow the Ed Schultz Show on Twitter at We Got Ed.
It's the Ed Schultz Radio Show, rolling towards the finish line, 49 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman in for Ed today. He'll be back tomorrow, never fear. Let's get to a couple calls here before we go. 877-WE-GOT-ED, 877-934-6833. Billy in Wimberley, Texas. Is that how you say it, Billy? Wimberley, Texas?
That's correct, Brad.
Billy, have I talked to you before when I've been in guest hosting for Mike Malloy? Your name looks familiar.
Probably so.
Okay.
I to the left-leaning radio station because it teaches me something. It doesn't do me any good to listen to the people I agree with.
Also doesn't do you any good to listen to the people that you agree with on the right because they make stuff up. So, Billy, what's on your mind, my friend?
Like the NRA supports arming terrorists. That's a bold-faced lie. Perhaps.
Is it? Then why have they lobbied so hard against banning people from buying guns if they're on the terrorist watch list? Why did they do that?
They're lobbying hard against people. They're having their rights infringed upon without being convicted of a crime or being put on some sort of list like that. That's what they're lobbying.
So they're lobbying against the terrorist watch list itself, are they, Billy? Because I haven't heard of that. I've only heard them lobbying against including people on the terrorist watch list. In other words, those people can't get on a plane, but they can go out and buy any gun they want. And you think that's a good thing. Is that right?
Been convicted of a crime, they have a right to own a gun. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's
right. And so they're enabling anybody who wishes to commit terrorism, whether they are on the terrorist watch list or not. The NRA wants everybody to be able to buy as many guns of any type and as many rounds as they want without even having to give their name or do a background check of any sort. And also, they're lying about the UN arms treaty. You're cool with them lying about that, too, I guess.
Well, and you're making a sophistry that is just another lie. And you can say lie on the right as much as you want. But
well, no, they said that it will undermine the Second Amendment in this country when very specifically, if you read the UN arms treaty that they are lying about, it says that this treaty will have no effect on internal laws. So how do you say that is not a lie, Billy?
Well, because the UN has no right making laws for this country to begin with.
Well, that's absolutely untrue. We have treaties. Treaties are in the Constitution. We can make treaties with other countries. You just made that up out of whole cloth, Billy. And it has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. And they keep telling you that it will undermine the Second Amendment. That is a lie. You're cool with them lying, right?
You can lie as much as you want. It's not going to change anything. If people out here are stupid.
Wait, who can lie, Billy? Who are you talking about? The NRA?
You, Brett. You.
Me? Are you calling me a liar? What have I lied about, Billy?
You said that the NRA supported arming terrorists. That's a bold-faced lie.
Okay.
You know it.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for your call, Billy. I appreciate it. And enjoy the Texas barbecue. Desi is from Texas. She recommends it. But I'm from Missouri, and I think the Missouri barbecue is way better than the Texas barbecue. On the other hand, you can buy all the guns you want, even if you're on the terrorist list, whether it's Texas or anywhere else. Go figure. Let me get one in more. Matt from East Jordan, Michigan. Welcome, Matt, to the Ed Schultz Show.
Yeah, despite the overwhelming opinion of the American people, incredibly this administration is going to go down this disastrous road of arming rebels over the issue of chemical weapons, rebels that we know virtually nothing about. We know that some are actually the eaters of human heart. This can only end in disaster. But we know for a fact, and beyond this, we don't even really know whether Assad used chemical weapons or how many people he's killed. But we know for a fact that we've been using depleted uranium for over a decade all over the Middle East, and this has been responsible for numerous cancer cases, all kinds of birth defects, just a whole host of diseases. Depleted uranium should be classified as a chemical weapon. And before we go, arming God knows what kind of rebels.
I gotta get to a break, Matt. I'm sorry. I hear you. Thanks for using your public airwaves to get that thought out. And eaters of human hearts, you say that like it's a bad thing. We're back with our final segment. Brad in for Ed. Stay with us.
If it's on the kitchen table, it's on the Ed Schultz Show.
I am Dave on Twitter says, wait a minute, Missouri barbecue better than Texas? Sir, you are a madman. Ha! Good show today, he says. I stand by that. Yes, Missouri barbecue, way better than Texas. Got a problem with that? Bring it up with Ed Schultz. He'll be back tomorrow. My thanks today to my guests Ari Berman, Marcy Wheeler, David Dayan. Also to my producer here in L.A., Desi Doyen. Thanks to the folks up in Fargo, producers Brent Jabour and Troy Larson. Really appreciate you guys having me in today. Also to the folks here at KPFK in Los Angeles, and of course to Ed Schultz for allowing me in. Keep making noise, America. I'll see you at bradblog.com.